You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Wednesday, November 2nd, 2016, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. I am Greg Sussman, joined as always by the King, Scott Engel, the exec, Fantasy, Corey Parsons, Fantasy Exec, there we go.
Yep.
And I called you yesterday in a promo, Tony, a DFS Maverick. Tony Zingata.
Yes. A Maverick.
The Maverick. Yeah.
That's actually a good name, but I just hope to God that I'm not confused with any of those Broken Back Mountain guys.
Yeah, and that's reasonable. But Maverick was just came to my head. I thought it was cool. Are you blowing into the mic right now?
I'm laughing.
Doing? Oh.
It's hysterical.
God.
I know you don't
find
that
what's hysterical?
Funny.
Yeah, I think
he referred to Brokeback Mountain.
So what? So he refers to a movie and it's, you know, you lose your crap?
I know.
Yeah. He's starting off being uptight again this morning.
I'm not uptight. I'm just wondering, you know. 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. On the program today, we'll go over the waiver wires that ran and let you know what the prices were. So if your waiver wire has not run yet, Yes.
Just finish what you're saying. You wanted to say something. Finish what you're saying, and I'd like to add something.
Oh, okay. Anyway, on the show today, we'll go over the waiver wire and what we spent last night. So if your waiver has not run quite yet, maybe you'll get an idea of how much you need to spend on certain guys. We're going to talk some headlines from yesterday. We got the World Series to go over. We are in Game 7. That is tonight. We'll start off with that. We got some NBA from last night. NBA tonight. And I wanted to go over fantasy trade deadline with the NFL trade deadline being yesterday. I think there's a big discussion there to go over the fantasy trade deadline. Yes, Scotty.
I just wanted to let you know for your waiver purposes tonight that I have posted my in-season ranks on rotoexperts.com. Part of your exclusive edge in-season fantasy football package on rotoexperts.com. Head to free radio. Check out for a special discount.
That's what you needed to add.
People asking me all the time when I'm posting it.
I thought you had something like... Really?
Who are these people?
Our listeners.
is that all that you got going in your life? Like, they pull up to Scotty Engel. They don't ask, hey, how's your wife? How's the kid? No.
They don't care about me, Tony. You know this. They just want to know who's the star.
Oh, that's very sad.
No, it's not.
I wish they felt
It's not sad,
better
Tony.
About you.
I'm blessed to be doing this, bro.
All right. You know, I was going to start off with the World Series. I was going to start off with the World Series here, and I am going to start off with the World Series.
Go ahead.
But I need to tell you a story about watching the World Series. So last night, and I was going to save this for later, but, you know, I can't hold my tongue. I need to do it to start off the show. And I'm sure Tony will appreciate it. So last night, we were watching the World Series. A bunch of us got together. We haven't seen each other. We went to my buddy's place. We go, all right, let's just watch the World Series, watch the Knicks. We'll hang out.
Right.
It was like a boys' night.
Yeah, just a boys' night. Yeah. We figured we'd just order some food, watch the sausage.
What kind of food?
So, I'm glad you asked. It's not. Oh, so it's 6:04, and we've made two gay jokes so far. Fantastic.
Come on.
Anyway.
Hold on. Yesterday.
We made a Maverick. Yeah, we made a Maverick joke and a cowboy joke and a sausage joke. That's what we made.
I'm just calling it like it is. Anyway, so there's a new place that opened up by me. It's called Lena's Kitchen.
All right.
I'm going to say their name. I don't care.
All right.
Lena's Kitchen. Now, they own two, like, famous pizza places, cult pizza places in Long Island.
Okay.
And it's just, they're just famous for the buffalo chicken slice.
Did you say cult pizza places?
Cult. Like, it's not like this super famous place, but for us, like, it's
for locals, they swear
everybody
by
it.
I have one of those.
Of course,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're known for their buffalo chicken slice. But anyway, this place that opened here, they don't really sell, it's not pizza, it's like Italian dishes. All
right,
fine.
Right.
So we walked by yesterday, a couple of days ago, we got a menu. I ordered online, so we didn't have the menu with us. We order online, and we go, you know, we saw this big pasta for multiple people. You know, we saw it for five people or whatnot. There's five of us. What's the deal? They go, well, you can order a pasta with whatever sauce you want for $40 total. Five of us, $8 a person. That's very fair. And very realistic.
No, I'm quite sure these are well-to-do gentlemen.
1%ers.
Not all of us. You know.
$8.
Let's just be fair. The $8 they spent was less than Corey's breakfast this morning.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That makes sense. You're absolutely right.
Totally
good one, Greg.
Because we are well-to-do gentlemen, we also needed a couple of heroes because you know that wasn't enough for us. So, a couple of chicken parm heroes. Whatever.
I like that.
So it was gonna be like $15 a person. Mm-hmm. Fine, no big deal. So within a half hour the food comes, and I'm like, oh wow, it's great, nice and quick. So they bring us a bag with like the couple sandwiches that we ordered, and this big box. Awesome. We got this massive pasta we figured in the box. So we bring the box, we open the box, there's this massive pot of vodka sauce. With a side box of Barilla pasta that we had to then make. And I go, wait a minute. You're saying that we just spent $40 on a massive jar of vodka sauce and a box of pasta.
Wow.
That we need to then make.
You had to do it yourself.
You could have went to a bodega for that.
I could have went anywhere for that. I went to the you know how much a box of pasta costs? 99 cents.
Yeah.
And a jar of vodka sauce costs about, I don't know, what, $5?
Yeah.
So somehow, we're sitting watching the World Series, and we got a box of pasta for five of us, mind you. I don't know. And then a massive thing of vodka sauce.
So what did y'all end up doing with the jar? Who prepared the dish?
So we call back.
Okay.
And we're like, why did you just give us a box of pasta for $40? And like, oh, this is what we do. And I was like, what do you mean? You told us we're getting this thing for five people. I don't know if a box of pasta is enough for us.
Yeah.
We're, we're big gentlemen here.
Yeah.
And I need to make my own dinner? Yeah. Why did I buy dinner
from you?
Why did
I call you the first place?
I'm making dinner. I could have bought. I have pasta in the house.
They say
tough existence.
So I didn't.
New York City.
I actually did not make the call. Somebody else made the
call. Yeah, okay. No, it's all good.
But this is how I feel. So he, and it's a new place, just opened last week. So he apologized profusely. He's like, I'm sorry, who didn't tell you clearly. He goes, we're going to take, the pasta and the sauce is on us. So thanks for giving a box of pasta on you. So he spent a dollar on us. Fantastic. So
we eat. So they didn't charge you.
They didn't charge us for that. They only charged us for the sandwiches, which is fine.
Right.
So we're eating the sandwiches and they call us back. I'm like, what's going on? Like, you know what? We really screwed that up. I'm like, oh, you screwed that up?
Yeah.
Really?
You don't think? Yeah,
thank you. Wait, is it cool if we just send you over some food? Like, oh.
Oh, that's what's up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
So did y'all do something simple like chicken wings or something like
we
that?
We said send us whatever you want. Like, whatever. No big deal. Literally, whatever you have, just send it over. So within 2 minutes, the bell rings. Like, oh, my God. They're here already? And it takes 15 minutes and nobody shows up at the door. And I'm like, oh, God. We brought our free food to the wrong apartment.
Oh,
this is
goodness.
Terrible. So we're having this back and forth. Like, do we call them back and ask where our free food is? Like, is that the right thing to do? Call them back and ask us where the free food is. And we're like, I don't know. So we look online. The place closes at 10 o'clock. It's now 10 o'clock.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, so we're either getting
bad
this
business.
Food or we're not. So we call them back. We're like, so our apartment buzzed literally 10 minutes ago, 10, 15 minutes ago. Where's the food? They're like, oh, the guy just walked out. Like, they must have buzzed the wrong apartment when they came in. I'm like, okay. So eventually, the food comes. They brought us, like, a chicken parm dinner, like a salad, a chicken, two other chicken dishes. And it was very nice. To answer your question, who wound up preparing the other dish?
Yeah.
That was me.
So all right, good job.
I did the vodka sauce and the pasta. So, really, you know what? When it was all said and done, they did it right by us.
Yeah.
But have you ever heard of ordering food? And they deliver you a box of pasta.
Now, this is the first time I'm hearing about this, Greg. I can tell you about my night and kill another 10 minutes, but, I don't
this is a true story, though. I was at – this is a life decision last night. I was at Applebee's, right?
There you go.
The World Series and the Golden State game.
Yeah.
And honest to God, there's a car door open for a while, and I'm steering it in the parking lot, right? And outside – this is a true story, honest to God.
Yeah.
A Hooters waitress gets out, right?
Right.
Then she opens the hood, and then two other Hooters waitresses get out, and their car's stuck.
Is this heaven?
Now, do you go out there? That's what I was like. Do you go out there and help them? Because I'm feeling like if I'm the first guy to go out and help them, and I don't know what the hell I'm going to do once I get out there either, I'm like a pervert if I go out there and help them, right? So I don't go out there, and it takes a while. And two women are the first people to leave the restaurant to help these three Hooters waitresses. Then after like 20 minutes, a guy went out there. They jumped out of the car. The lights went on, and then they had to call a tow truck. They had like a $60,000 car that wouldn't start, and it got towed away. And the tow truck driver had three women in the front seat with him. And he was in heaven. It was like a bad porno movie.
Wow, wow, wow. I want to know what the Hooters waitress is doing at Applebee's. That was my confusion.
That's story. Yeah, that was weird, too, because they never came in. So I have no idea what happened there. But would you guys have gone out there? Like, I felt like I was a pervert if I went out there.
How many beers have I knocked down already? You feel what I'm saying?
That's a good point. And he says, I don't know why the Hooters waitress is going to Applebee's. Yeah. You don't go to Hooters for the food.
Yeah.
Don't order anything but the wings.
I don't even like the wings at Hooters, to be honest with you.
That's the only thing that's decent there. Everything else I've forgotten is
pretty good. Just saying.
I had the buffalo chicken. It was okay.
Yeah, it was
anything
good.
Outside of like the chicken family, like getting into danger.
I can't say I've tried it. All right. So while I was going through this food and Tony was staring at Hooters girls, there was a World Series going on. And that was World Series game number 6 between the Cubs and the Indians. As I predicted, this goes to game 7. And it goes to game 7 tonight after a 9-3, I think it was the final, 9-3 victory with the Cubbies over the Indians. And we'll get into the hitting a little bit later on. But I want to... You okay over there?
I'm readjusting. I'm sorry, Greg. Okay. I know this bothers you. My bad.
Well, we'll just hear it, you know.
So sorry, my bad.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So, it's 9-3 the Cubs wind up winning. And, you know, Addison Russell hits the grand slam, and there's the misplay in center field earlier in the game. Chris Bryant homers again. But to me, and I want to start with you, Tony, because I know you have been very, very clear over the last couple of months that you are rooting vehemently against Joe Maddon because he thinks he's smarter than everybody else. You, despite the players liking him, you hate this guy because he needs to be the smartest man in the room. Well, he pulled another one of these moves last night, and I need to know where you stand on it. Because he brings in Aroldis Chapman, his closer, who traditionally has pitched one inning. Yes, it's the postseason. He's pitched multiple innings multiple times. But it is he pitched his career high in pitches almost 52 days ago. And comes into last night, they are up 7-2 in the seventh inning. 7-2. And you know if everything goes swimmingly, you go to Game 7 tonight where you're going to have Andrew Miller available for 100 pitches tonight, Cody Allen available for 75 pitches tonight, and you want Aroldis Chapman as fresh as humanly possible so he can give you 60 pitches tonight. Why would you bring him in a 7-2 game in the seventh inning? Tony?
That was the most shocking to me. Now, a lot of managers believe once they get the guy up and warm him up in the bullpen that they have to bring him in. And that was the case, I think, last night. But they also had another reliever that was up at the same time. I have no idea. And then Maddon, after the game, they interviewed him and they said, nah, he'll be ready to go in game 7. He's a bull. He's a very strong man. And it was almost glowingly, like I have this guy that's better than everybody else,
right,
and I can use him as much as I want. So there's no fair factor with Joe Maddon when it comes to using him at the end of that game. So I don't know. I think it's a mistake, but we've seen Miller go back-to-back. We've seen guys, but there's no way in hell I would think 90% of managers use a guy with a 5-run lead.
It's weird. I get it's the World Series. Use your closer, and that's fine if it was the eighth inning. I get it. But game seven, it's all out the window. No question about that. But when you clearly just don't trust anyone else in your bullpen, and that says something, I think. And what I've been wondering, Scott, by watching all of these games, what has happened to Hector Rondon? Like, this guy was one of the best closers in baseball when they replaced him with Aroldis Chapman. They were going to all of a sudden perform this eighth and ninth inning duo role that you're seeing Andrew Miller and Cody Allen have. What has happened to Hector Rondon that he's fallen so far out of favor, he can't even get into a World Series game?
We know this is fantasy baseball players because it's fantasy baseball players. We've asked this question a lot before. Why aren't they using Rendon? And I got the feeling that even before Joe Maddon, that managers before him just don't seem to trust Hector Rondon in a big, big spot. And they asked Maddon after the game, you know, why he did this. And he said, I've been in this ballpark before, and I've seen this team come back. He did not want to risk it. He wanted to sew up Game 6 of the World Series so bad and make sure he didn't have it. He didn't even feel comfortable with the lead he had. He had to cement that until he got to the ninth inning, and he was finally able to pull him out. I kind of understand where he's coming from. This is Game 6. This is it. I have to get to Game 7. I cannot let this team come back under any circumstances at all. Here's my guy. And it's kind of like on the other side, too. It's like, you know, they'll use Miller as long as you have to. You know, you have to get to that, I hate to use a cliche, do-or-die game tonight. You have to get there. And I understand that mentality. And yesterday we talked about the heart of a champion.
Well, you talked about the heart of a champion.
We did. You know, you disagree with it, Corey and I. You don't know what we're talking about here. But heart of a champion is a tangible thing.
I'm a kickball champion. Remember that? Yeah.
There you go.
I'm just telling you.
And they really showed it last night. I can see why Madden did. I know a lot of people are questioning it, but I can see why he did it.
You know, yes, Corey.
This is the two most exciting words in all of sports.
Game 7.
Yeah. Do we get a classic like we got with Cleveland and Golden State?
I think we do, honestly. I think these two teams, Cleveland and Chicago, have proven to be evenly matched. I think it's going to be really interesting with both starting pitchers tonight, how long they last. And that's always a question in Game 7 because you have everybody available. And literally, for the Cubs, everyone's available tonight besides I guess Kyle Hendricks. Kyle Hendricks is probably available. Well, Kyle Hendricks starts tonight. Everyone's available. And I think that probably includes Jake Arrieta, even though he went 6 innings last night or close to it. So, but I just didn't understand if you want Chapman at his best. Like, and I get it. It worked out well that going into the ninth, he only had 15 pitches. So it was like no big deal. Mm-hmm. But to me, you're up 7-2. You don't trust any of your guys with a 5-run lead, including your closer who had an under 2 ERA all year.
It's just a mentality. Well,
It's a wrong mentality.
But you know what, though? They ended up winning the game. So that's it. And by the way, I wanted Corey clearing that up for me. Good. The two most exciting boards in sports were Game 7. I was under the impression recently that it was Dak Prescott.
Yes, you're at Game 7. And you'll never hear about Chapman being limited tonight. But all I know is if he didn't pitch last night, and he has 3 days off from throwing his career high in pitches, he could have went another 50-60 tonight. I don't think, Tony, Chapman can go 50-60 pitches tonight and be as effective as he has been.
I would be surprised if he gets in that game earlier than one out in the eighth inning. So basically 5 outs is where we're going to go with Chapman tonight. I would love to have him, like Andrew Miller has pitched 2 innings plus when you talk about game seven.
Yeah.
And you're 100% right. There's a million different options that could have went last night, including bringing the starter with a 5-run lead in that contest. So it was crazy what he did.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? You ask, why don't they trust Rendon? What if they bring Rendon in a big spot tonight and they win the World Series? And in retrospect, if they win the World Series in Game 7, who's really going to be talking
nobody,
about this anyway?
Absolutely nobody. But they're not going to bring in Hector Rendon because they haven't pitched him in a month, seemingly. Like, he's gotten into 2 World Series games. The game that they lost 6-0, the game that they lost 7-2. So it's clear that they have no trust in this guy because he only pitches when they lose. So, seriously. So they bring in Pedro Strop in the 7th inning. He's been your 7th inning guy all year. You don't need to bring him in the 9th. If Strop gets in trouble, then you can bring in Chapman. That's fine. He pitches an inning, no big deal. I just did not like, it worked out. I did not like bringing him in the 7th inning. Obviously, the Fox broadcasters agreed. When it comes,
you're sitting here questioning a guy, though, that just won Game 6 of the World Series.
I can't question him?
They won. What's the big deal?
But they have to win 2. It's a big deal because if they don't win Game 7 because he was limited because of what happened last night,
what are the odds that they don't win Game 7 because of this, though?
I don't know the answer to that question.
At the end of this series, somebody, one of these managers is going to have to answer some questions about
Madden had to answer questions from last night. It's not just me that's asking this. Joe Buck, John Smoltz, Tom Verducci, and Ken Rosenthal all disagreed vehemently with this last night.
If I was a Cubs fan, I'd say, we won. That's it.
But
period.
What happened last night?
What
happened last night, it will affect what happens tonight. That's the problem.
Yeah. You won a battle. You're trying to win a war. That's the most insane thing I've ever heard, Scott. You're a very intelligent guy, but you're not showing that right now.
So, like, but if you're saying you want to win
it's
games,
not a race,
six,
it's a marathon.
No. So now, like I said,
I disagree. I have no intelligence now.
Now, with Game 7 tonight, guys, you have Corey Kluber on the mound going on 3 days rest again for the second time in a row. He legitimately needs, in my opinion, you correct me if I'm wrong, he needs Kluber to get through three tonight. Literally just three innings. Because you can have Andrew Miller go 4-5-6 and Cody Allen or Brian Shaw go into the fourth, then Andrew Miller go 5-6-7 and Cody Allen go 8-9. That is it. I think that is all he is looking for from Corey Kluber. And he'll use Shaw, Miller, and Cody Allen the rest of the way. And that's it. He doesn't have...
I disagree.
Yes. Okay.
Because I think, with the exception of Andrew Miller, that Corey Kluber is the second best pitcher on that team.
Okay.
So I think they want to get six innings out of him
really?
And then go to Miller for three innings. Yeah. Corey Kluber, he's that good. I mean, look at the postseason numbers that this guy's put together. And to think that a guy, either of those two pitchers at the end of the bullpen that are not named Andrew Miller, anything close to Corey Kluber is a mistake. He's that good. He's that much better than everybody else. He's a strikeout pitcher, and the Cubs put together a very fearful lineup. And the one thing you do to put them at bay is to strike them out. Don't put the ball in play. And those other two pitchers, as good as they've pitched in the postseason and as good as their record out, they're not Corey Kluber.
No, they're not Corey Kluber. They're not Andrew Miller. But Cody Allen has been great, obviously, for the most part here. He has had some hiccups, but Cody Allen's been great. He's been their closer. I believe here, guys, or Scotty, that Francona trusts Cody Allen and that he's going to go to him. Mm-hmm. Maybe three was underestimating Corey Kluber a little bit. I don't think he goes six. I really don't.
Yeah, well, you know what, though? We've seen stranger things in the postseason, and, you know, these are what the storylines are made of. It's like, who expected Roberto Perez to hit two home runs? It's like, you know, we talk about in fantasy football about things being dynamic and spontaneous when you're talking about Game 7 of the World Series. Things can be dynamic and spontaneous. You know, we can. You know, who expected to see Madison Bumgarner do what he did in the postseason? Nobody predicted that. This is Game 7. Anything can happen. Nothing would shock me.
So last night you had what was really cool is Madden changes the lineup off and immediately works. Chris Bryant's been a monster the last few days. Anthony Rizzo, after a cold start to the postseason, has been tremendous. Ben Zobrist had a hit, and a couple hits. And it was Addison Russell with a massive, massive grand slam, broke the game open, really sent them to Game 7 here.
Greg, Scott, Tony, who wins Game 7 and who's the MVP?
So that was what I was going to get to in a moment. No problem.
I don't mean to.
Corey's like, wrap up the baseball.
That's
kind
of what he's asking.
I didn't mean to be premature.
Yeah. You know, I think.
Won't be the first time.
See, I was trying to get through that.
I'm sorry.
That happened. I saw that coming a mile away.
he laid it out there too easy.
I knew that was coming. Look at Jesus. I hear myself now. I don't think the MVP has been decided yet on either side. I think that...
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think it will be written tonight. I think for the Cubs, you look at the guys I mentioned. You look at Bryant. You look at Rizzo. You look at Russell. And you look at Chapman. I think those four guys are in the conversation if the Cubs win. For Cleveland, I think once again, you look at Corey... I think Corey Kluber goes six innings tonight of shutout ball. I think he'll be the MVP. I think Andrew Miller's in there. I don't think there's a hitter on Cleveland. Maybe Lindor that gets in there. But to me, it's probably going to be...
I love pitching. This is your series.
Corey Kluber, I want to pitch it to win.
Corey Kluber or Andrew Miller. You agree, Tony? Tony?
Yeah, I think it's Kluber or Andrew Miller. I think if Kluber goes six-plus innings tonight, pitches another great game, has three productive in a World Series, he's going to get it.
Agree.
Andrew Miller would be the second choice. As far as the Chicago Cubs, I think it's open. Whoever has a big game in Game 7 will end up with the MVP in Game 7. That will sway the voters.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting with Addison Russell because as we've followed his fantasy baseball arc over the last few years, we've already always heard about this kind of talent, and now this is going to blossom. You know, maybe at the right time. I really think that, like, you know, if the Cubs win this game, I just see Russell with the way he's playing being a part of it.
Yeah, he absolutely.
Having a shot at the MVP.
Definitely. And I can't wait when this happens next spring for fantasy baseball season. We all overdraft Addison Russell because of what he did in two games of the World Series.
Which is always something that fantasy players always do. Totally. They look back at the playoffs and they go in on that person.
You know what's crazy about that? As soon as he hit that grand slam last night, that was my immediate thought. Yep. What round is he going to draft? Like, it was the immediate thought. It's crazy that you bring that up today.
Especially a fantasy baseball draft in Chicago.
The thought, Tony, the same thought crossed my mind. I was like, wow, Addison Russell was, oh my God, he's so great. Now he's going to go four rounds higher in a draft. Hey, we'll talk more about the World Series a little bit later on. So I'm going to let you simmer with your picks. Think about it a little bit. Do you want to bring simmer. Up? I do want to bring up.
With some penny ala vodka.
But you have to make it yourself.
Yeah.
Going into last night, Donald Trump has the same percentage chance of winning the presidency as the Cubs do the World Series. Cubs are in Game 7 now, and Donald Trump's in his Game 7 here with 6 days
yes.
to go.
When
we surging.
And surging. It's true. That's not funny, Scott. Let's not laugh at that. When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, we'll talk about some of the headlines from yesterday and get into the waiver wire all in the next half hour. The Roto Experts roll on right after this. Here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Sussman, Angle, Parson, and Sincotta here with you. During the break, Mike Florio and I talk a little FanDuel. We're going to get to some basketball later on. He let me know Houston playing New York tonight. That could be massive. And you know, it's going to get me to a point where I want to bring up later, so something else you could simmer on, gentlemen, is with these guys being so highly priced, the Hardens, the Westbrooks, who both are in action here. And Anthony Davis, like, these guys are so expensive.
Yeah.
Is there a way to win without playing them? They're just so expensive. Simmer on that. Well, I want to get back to that, but I do want to get in.
Harden last night. Ooh.
Harden was insane last night.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis has been insane every night. And then you have Russell Westbrook, who tonight is probably over $13,000. Like, I don't know how you play him, but I don't also know how you don't. We'll talk about that later on.
Maybe I'll use Davis, Harden, and Joakim Noah together.
Are you like Joakim Noah?
No, 2 points last night.
Well, that was not good. But he's not a scorer, yeah. though. Whatever. Yeah. All right. So we'll get into that a little bit later on in the show. Let's get some headlines here from yesterday around the NFL. And I want to start with Jamaal Charles because it is now officially law season for him. Charles has battled back from his knee injury. He has never looked 100% this year. He officially goes on injured reserve. With Charles on IR, and I think we all read the tea leaves, yes, I use this expression again, that it was headed this way. That not necessarily a lost season, but Jamaal Charles is going to be out for a significant period of time. Spencer Ware is in concussion protocol. Sure, Kendrick West very well could get the start here this weekend. Corey.
Yo.
Is this the end of Jamaal Charles?
It's probably the end of Jamaal Charles as the Kansas City Chief. He probably resurfaces somewhere next year as a part-time player in somebody else's backfield. Listen, I'd be honest with you, I was kind of sad when I saw this news yesterday. But when I saw they signed Bishop Shankey, I knew it was coming. You feel
right.
what I'm saying? Because Bishop Shankey sucks, but that's a whole
yeah,
different story.
I was sad when they saw they signed Bishop Shankey.
Yes. But that being said, 29-year-old running back going on 30, 2 ACL tears, but at the prime of his days, he was one of the top fantasy running backs in the league, at least since I've been playing the 14 seasons I've been playing fantasy football. But you look at the situation now in Kansas City, Wes and Ware both solidly in the mix. This raises Wes's value a little bit. And, you know, as far as this gentleman goes, Jamaal Charles, next season he'll be like a timeshare back with the Jets.
Much like his former backup, Nile Davis, was for about an hour and a half or so.
That was crazy. What's wrong with Nile Davis? What is wrong with Nile? He must have something in his piss or something. Because they keep sending him out these teams like, yo, you got to leave here.
Smith.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. Nile Davis literally lasted on the Jets for about an hour and a half before they cut him for CJ Spiller. What was the deal with that, Sky? Why did they do that for Nile?
Maybe Nile Davis walked into Billy like, wait a minute, this is the Jets, and he walked out. They had to call CJ Spiller. But, you know, a dozen carries for Jamaal Charles, and a little stunning because, like, he showed some classic Jamaal Charles moves in that first game in limited action. But, you know, now, like we say, it's over. You know, Ware is in the concussion protocol. West is a very, very popular pickup this week.
Yep.
You're going to have to spend heavy for him.
We'll get to the, we'll get to the number shortly.
If we get down to the point where we're about West and Ware, opportunity doesn't always lead to production. You know, Bishop Sankey got to end up starting for this team. I think Alex Smith is going to have to start throwing screen passes.
Now, opportunity doesn't always lead to production. You're right. But we have seen production from the opportunity with both Spencer Ware and Shaq Kendrick West in the past.
Right. You know, they're good players.
You know, last year we saw both of them emerge, and both of them helped lead teams to fantasy championships.
This is the system, though.
I agree.
This is a system.
I agree with you.
This is give the volume, and this offense goes through the running back. The offense runs through the running back, no matter if it's Jamal Charles, Spencer Ware, the gentleman we going to waiver wire for, Shaw Kendrick West. I don't know if that would be the case with Bishop Shankey, but I'm quite sure they'll give it a chance. So
right.
It is a good spot. I don't know if West – I got West in two of my leagues, and I ask you this, Tony. Two of my leagues in the Fantasy Football World Championships. In one of the leagues, I have 380 remaining in Fab. The other league, I have 220 remaining in Fab. I need running back help in both leagues. As a matter of fact, I'm a Spencer Ware owner in both leagues. Do I go all the way in?
I think at this point you do, and I think it's not – I think there's a better chance that it doesn't work out than it does. But I can't look at a situation and say, oh, we're already at week 9. What's going to come up in week 10, 11, 12? Like, it's getting to a point where you have to make a move. So I would go ahead and do it. I actually spent 44 out of my 68 remaining dollars on Tim Hightower yesterday.
Yeah, in our league. I was wondering who was going to go in Heights, and I was looking, and then Tony did it. It's interesting Corey talks about the system, but just like in terms of appreciation for fantasy history, over the last decade, the Kansas City Chiefs have given us some great running back play for fantasy.
Absolutely.
Jamal Charles, Priest Holmes, Larry Johnson, the names that stand out to me.
Marcus Allen.
Jackie Battle.
I love Jack Battle. So in my league, the team had like $60 left. He spent 32 of it on Shark Kendrick West.
That's a good buy right there.
That was the winning bid. I was second with 26. I thought that was going to be enough, which is about half of what I had left, and it wasn't, which is very frustrating to me. So to give you an idea, Corey, he went for 32 in my league.
Here's the thing, though. Are we going in for a possible one-week rental?
Yes.
Because I'm saying if Ware's not in the protocol, Ware plays on Sunday, now Wes is the clear backup now. He's the handcuff. He's the guy you need to have.
You spent $26, $32 or half your budget on a backup.
Exactly, on a backup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't think it's going to – I don't think it could work out. But be honest about it, though. He's going to get 8 touches, right? In today's National Football League, we're rostering running backs.
Sure, absolutely.
8 to 10 touches.
Absolutely.
So I think he's going to be relative the rest of the way. I just think he's not going to be what we pay for. I have him on a couple teams in the best ball format, and so I'm looking forward to him having the ability to get out there for a couple games. But I really don't see this guy putting it. It's the first time that I know of Spencer Ware having a concussion issue. I expect him to be back more than – at worst, miss this week. At worst, I'll be shocked if he even misses this week. I think it's going to be a lot of money for nothing.
The only question I have, though, for you guys is last year, remember, Shark Kendrick West got hurt. He was running very, very well. He was dominating. And it was West that got hurt. Ware came in and really stole the job right from Shark Kendrick West. West comes back. Ware remains the main backup at the time. Jamal Charles was the starter the second half of last year. They come into training camp this year. Ware's still the guy. Now, Ware is hurt. Is there a possibility that Shark Kendrick West steals the job back from Spencer Ware?
Both of them are very good players.
I agree.
So it's almost like we're paying for the talent here and not really the situation that Shark Kendrick West is in.
I think you're paying for both. You're paying for both.
Well, the situation is unknown.
Oh, you're talking about the situation with Spencer Ware, not the situation in Kansas City.
Now, as far as Shaw Kendrick West taking this job, I don't think he gets a 1 week rental at this. Spencer Ware has been the man since the season started. I think West is the clear backup. He's the clear timeshare. So I don't think that we're going into week 11 with Shaw Kendrick West as the starting running back, getting the majority of the workload in Kansas City.
Yeah, why mess with success when you've seen what
they did it last
Ware
year?
Can do.
They did it last year.
That was early in the season.
Than last year.
Yeah. Okay, how come?
Here's what's different. During the preseason,
they
made Spencer Ware get involved in the passing game, which he was not involved whatsoever. So once he showed the ability to catch his passes out of the backfield, then he became a complete back. So that's the difference between this year and last year. They didn't think he could catch the ball out of the backfield. He had never shown that at any level. So he was able to do that, and basically, that was the report that told you that Spencer Ware was going to be the guy in preseason because he was catching balls out of the backfield.
Yeah, Tony makes a good point because this guy came out and was drafted as a fullback.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
From LSU, sure. Yeah, no question about it. I agree with all you guys that Shark Kendrick West, you're spending a good portion of your budget here. However, it may just be for a week.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It may just be for now.
I hate to jump around on this one.
Yeah,
I don't understand. This is Andy Reid's system.
Yes.
We've seen it before. His style of his version of the West Coast offense.
Yes.
This is heavy running back. You look at Brian Westbrook, and you look at LeSean McCoy, players he's coached in the past. You look at how he uses running back and put him in situations like this now. But Doug Peterson, in basically the same damn system, don't give his running back the football.
Well, I'm glad you're bringing that up, because this was what made me like Ryan Matthews so much coming into the season, was that they wanted to be a ball control offense. And I asked Corey this yesterday, Corey. I go, I wanted to know what the offense is in Philadelphia, because I expected it to be much like Andy Reid and in Kansas City. You just hand the ball off 25, 30 times a game, and you don't worry about it. It has not become that, and that's why I don't trust anybody right now in Philadelphia.
No, I don't think you can. You know, it's you've got Sproles, but he's not built for it. Matthews is fumbling, and at some point he may get hurt. Smallwood, you know, he's a rookie. Kenjon Barner, he's too small. At some point, this just might become a pure full-blown committee, and we might have to see a situation like the Bears where they're going with a committee, or it could be, and either somebody emerges over the rest, or it just becomes like a mishmash.
So the Bears never became a committee. So it was a committee.
No, I'm saying they skinned it as it was going to become a committee, but then Jordan Howard, you know, won the battle. You know, they might have an ongoing battle on the field,
right?
Or it might become something like Detroit, where we didn't know, we got a mishmash, and it might stay like that.
Yeah, and I think, unfortunately for us, so many of these backfields are mishmashes, and you think back to Kansas, to Green Bay. Well, sure, the Giants were, absolutely. You think back to Green Bay, where they cut Niall Davis, and they don't have a running back. There's no guarantee that Ty Montgomery's going to be back, and everyone's talking about James Starks. So my league yesterday, as we kind of are jumping around a bit, you know, James Starks, he didn't go for all that much. Like we talked yesterday, he should be pretty cheap. I think he went for like $4 in my league and $5 in another league. I think that's a good buy for you, Corey. You know, that you're looking for a running back here.
If you are, it's a stash and dash. You know what I'm saying? You know what the skill set is. You know you can get involved. You know they don't have nobody else right now. That's a nice, cheap buy right there, because he gets back on the field. He's going to be the guy down the stretch. You know what I'm saying? He can get you to weeks 14, 15, and hopefully 16.
The whole thing with Starks, though, is they don't use Lacy enough. And Starks has never been a great runner, but the thing is with Starks is that they can get him involved in the passing game, so in a PPR, he can at least have something of a floor for you.
Theoretically, yes. Mike McCarthy did say they want to get the running game back involved in Green Bay. I don't know if I believe that.
Coach speak.
Exactly. Hey, you guys mentioned Philadelphia. Corey, what's going on with your boy Josh Huff?
Oh, what he had? He had the hammer and he had some weed in the car?
He had a hammer, some weed, he had a DUI, at 11 a.m. yesterday.
I didn't know it was 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah, 11 o'clock in the morning.
He had a gun and a weed at 11 o'clock in the morning. Where the hell was he coming from? I hope he wasn't going to the practice facility.
Right?
Well, we were talking about strip clubs at 8 in the morning yesterday.
Wow.
Maybe we motivated him.
Maybe.
Wow, Josh Huff. I didn't know he had it in him.
Yeah.
Apparently he does. Well, he's a millennial, so you're probably going to have weed in the car anyway.
You got to watch out for those Eagles wide receivers. Tank basket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But why did he have a gun at that time of morning?
Well, Hank Basket. That he was had a different story.
Yeah, it was a different kind of gun he had.
a love gun.
But that was wild. I saw that with Josh Huff, apparently. Yeah. But you know what? Listen, I'm not making excuses, but NFL player is a target. So, you know, he could have had the gun for protection. And I think, as a matter of fact, the NFL may even teach gun safety courses.
So
we don't know what the situation with the gun is. I didn't read enough into the story. But as far as the marijuana goes, I mean, that's a bad look. You know what I mean?
You know, I think it's a what the marijuana itself is like a whatever look. You don't get caught. No one says anything. No big deal.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's with the gun, with the DUI, with the weed at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Your question was right, Corey. Where is he coming from? That's the issue here. Like, I didn't even know black people went out. Yeah.
Yeah, dropped his kid at school.
What kind of school did he go to?
Yeah, with the NFL players, they all have guns. Why can't they live in better neighborhoods? They don't get paid enough?
Nah, it's the propensity to continue to want to go home. Crabs in the barrel. You want to go show up in front of the people that you once lived with, those neighborhoods that you grew up in and stuff that. So they got the gun is for when they go out there. And then the gun is also the machismo, self-protection and stuff like that. So it's I don't know. I'm not a member of the NRA, but it's probably a bad move to be walking
and
around
with the marijuana, it's like, you know that the NFL is against it, but so many players. It's just like it's part of the culture. And I think not because they're saying they're drug addicts. You know, I've heard people say it's pain management.
Sure.
It helps you deal with a very violent game.
Yeah,
but Josh Huff shouldn't have no pain management. He don't get on the damn field.
Sure,
this is an excellent point. This is why you are here.
And I brought Josh Huff up because you actually, Corey, you mentioned these guys yesterday: Nelson Aguilar and Dorial Greenback.
Yep.
Exactly. Do you think that is really has no relation to Josh Huff and being arrested? Because, like you said, he wasn't getting on the field much on offense anyway. But we're just kind of using it to talk about this wide receiver core again. Waivers are going on right now. Any love for either of those two guys?
Adala Mekihalo and Dorial Greenback. At some point, somebody's going to have some kind of fantasy value. Obviously, it's not Nelson Aguilar. This kid, Nelson Aguilar, has been a tremendous disappointment in his second season. So, no, right now I cannot say that these are not good. Neither one of these guys are guys that is going to help change your fantasy season. But these are guys that can add a little bit of depth going down the stretch, and maybe you put them in your lineup one day and they pop. I got another. Let me tell you something. This league right here, I got $390 in it, dollars in Fab. I don't have a pressing issue at wide receiver, but Chris Hogan, who's on a bye this week, is not what's his name? Is his name Chris Hogan?
Yeah, you got it right.
Who is on a bye this week? And he's on my waiver wire right now. My receivers are Corey Coleman, Golden Tate, T.Y. Hilton, Odell Beckham, Dontrell Inman, Robert Woods. Do you think, and I got Marquise Goodwin, do you think it would be worth going all the way in for, this is a league, so Kendrick West is on the wire, and the Hogan kid is on the wire. You think any of these guys are all the way in guys for me?
Scotty, you're the biggest Chris Hogan supporter right now. Are you going all the way in for him?
Not all the way in. You know, it depends on what your need is, but not all the way in.
Hmm. I don't know. I'm just concerned. I've seen Chris Hogan on my waiver wire with Tom Brady as the quarterback.
Well, I would definitely pick him up for Marquise Goodwin.
He's boom or bust, but, you know, he's definitely going to have some nice games. And there's going to be some games, too, where, you know, they game plan specific, and they're going to look at the defense and say maybe a guy like Hogan can give us more than just boom or bust and work him into the game flow. And Julian Edelman doesn't look healthy, so he's appealing to me.
Yeah, Edelman's been a disappointment.
Yeah, he's very appealing to me if he's out there.
Hey, when we come back here on the Roto Experts in the morning, we're going to go over more waiver wire stuff, including how much did Tim Hightower go for in your league last night? And we will talk some more about the Los Angeles Rams, and, well, they may have made a smart decision. I know, you're shocked.
They fired Jeff Fisher?
Maybe so. We'll come back and talk about that next. Hey, Corey, you brought up the fact when I said that the Los Angeles Rams may have done something smart. You're like, oh, they fired Jeff Fisher. Well, you're close, actually.
What's up?
So they decided, you know, you heard this about 4-year extension they were going to get once they moved to L.A., Les Snead and Jeff Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Stan Kroenke, the owner, has put that on hold for now.
Really?
The extension.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe he realized
the writing's on the wall.
The writing, you know, Jeff Fisher, I believe I read yesterday, is 6 losses away from the most losses of all time as head coach.
But he's going to have a job next year. He will have a job next year. Somebody's going to open up the pocketbook,
so.
And they're going to bring him in and be like, "We going." And they're going to give him. And then when Jeff Fisher get the gig, he get the keys to the organization.
You think so? Who, like, haven't the owners seen what Jeff Fisher has done, which is nothing?
Nah, and you're absolutely correct. Jerry Jones absolutely loved the dude. Wanted to hire him on several different occasions. Thank God he stuck with Jason Garrett.
Which actually, you got to give Jerry Jones credit for. He sticks with nobody.
Yeah.
And he has actually stuck with this dude through thick and thin. Like, yeah, he totally replaced his He totally replaced, like, play calling, which was, I think, was a good thing. It made him be a better head coach. Like, it got rid of all these other duties he had to do. Did a nice job, Jason Garrett, through thick and thin.
He said years ago, Jerry Jones said that he was a new Tom Landry. And I thought Jerry Jones had bumped his millionaire head. Well,
right.
His billionaire head. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not
going to go the Tom Landry route, but Jason Garrett has done a fine job.
He has done
and
a
Jeff
job.
Fisher will end up somewhere else, Greg, and he'll be safe and he'll be employed and he'll ruin another franchise. But that job in Los Angeles is not good right now. And, Tony, I wanted to ask you this. Do you think it's a mistake to put a team in Vegas?
I don't think it is. I think the world's changing. The NBA is trying to welcome in gambling on games. The only problem is going to be we're going to get to a point when we have gambling allowed on professional sports that people are going to go to the game and it's going to be a 10-point game and everybody's focused on covering that by 11. So that's going to be the problem. But people can gamble anywhere. Online accounts are rampant. So here's the biggest negative of Las Vegas where it might not get improved. There's not enough people living in the city of Las Vegas to support a National Football League team. They've done studies. There's just not enough people. And that's a situation that, you know what, Las Vegas looks beautiful. It looks attractive. There's just not enough people that live there.
No, there's probably not enough people that live there. You know, they keep thinking it's this tourist attraction to go see a game. Problem is, you don't really care about the game. It's not your team.
Yeah, you want to have a home fan base.
Yeah, and therein lies the issue with Team in Vegas. I agree. I actually very much agree with Tony on that. So, Corey, you mentioned that you have Spencer Ware. You got to go all in at running back. He was your Kendrick West. Yeah. Now, is Tim Hightower on that waiver wire?
Tim Hightower is on that waiver wire. The way my priority is right now. And my ad drops this week. I have, being that I'm a Spencer Ware owner, I have given the higher priority to Shaw Kendrick West.
Okay.
As I'm going through and doing and getting my ready to run my waivers, so I've given him the higher priority. But you know, I don't want to say because people in the league could be listening.
Okay.
I have a certain dollar amount allotted to Shaw Kendrick West.
Right.
And I think my dollar amount allotted to Tim Hightower is maybe a dollar or two less.
Tony, let me ask you this, because we do these bids all the time, and we talk about how much do we bid to get some money. But a concept that I want to kind of throw out at you, how often do you bid on a player? And maybe Tim Hightower could be a good example, because much like Sharkhandrick West, like I have no idea how long Tim Hightower is actually going to help you for. Right? Like, it's not like a guy's down all of a sudden. Mark Ingram's broke his leg or anything like that. No, like they're splitting time, and next week Tim Hightower may get zero carries for all I know, despite what Sean Payton's saying. So how often, Tone, do you like bid on a guy, but you're like, you know what? I don't really want this guy anyway. Like, all right, dollar make you holler, like you said. Mm-hmm. But like, how often do you put bids in there, whether it's, you know, a cap of 100, $3, $6, whatnot, and you don't really want him. You just feel like you have to bid on him.
Yeah, actually, the last guy that I remember is Tyreek Hill. Any stretch of the imagination, right? No big deal.
Yeah.
I put a buck on him, right, a couple of weeks ago, because they just don't throw the ball enough, right? And I was short on wide receivers, and I said, it's a 14-team league. I said, you know what? He's not going to really help me. So I just put a buck bid on him, and I end up with him. And, you know, I'm a little more interested than I was 3 weeks ago.
Sure.
So it's interesting to watch the progression of a guy like that. And I'll tell you what, it's way better to put a buck or two on a guy that you're not interested in than paying $200 or $300 on a guy that loses his job 2 weeks later.
Yeah, but even still, Scotty, like I feel like there's certain guys, and whether they're backup running backs or these like mediocre wide receivers, like Dontrell Inman was a guy that I wound up with in all my leagues, and I spent like $3 or $4 on him this week, and I like Dontrell Inman, but like, would I have been crushed if I didn't get Dontrell Inman? No, like even for a guy like Tim Hightower, and I'm going to use him again. If I would have to spend, or Sharkhandrick West, let's say. So yesterday, I bid half my budget, or you know, $1 more than half my budget on Sharkhandrick West. And as we have said, you know, for the last 20 minutes or so, that Sharkhandrick West may be a 1 week fill in, and that's it. And I would have spent half my budget on that guy. So I woke up this morning thinking, did I even want to win this bid? And I don't know the answer to that question. Like I felt almost a sense of relief that I didn't get Sharkhandrick West.
I hate when that happens. You can never have enough depth,
right?
Because you can never know. Like 1 week, you could have Spencer Ware and Tevin Coleman and be feeling good about yourself.
Right.
And the next week, they're both out. But I have a situation in the league that I'm in with Tony.
Yes.
Where he overbid. Well, he didn't overbid. I'm saying he bid for Tim Hightower, and I see it where it makes sense for him. For me, I have both Robert Kelly and Lamar Miller on bye weeks. I also have Latavius Murray, and I have Peyton Barber, and I have one other starting running back that I'm comfortable with. I forget right who it is right now. And I said to myself, do I really need to bid this high to Tim Hightower?
Right.
I had to split hairs and think about it. There's no guarantees that Hightower keeps this job.
Sure.
That they could easily go back to Ingram.
Absolutely.
And that I could use Peyton Barber as a starter just for this week because I got Miller and Kelly off. Oh, and I also have Theo Riddick.
Right.
Right? Or I could just use those two running backs and pop somebody else in the flex. I said, Hightower is by easily the most attractive guy out here.
Yeah.
This is a very competitive 14-team league.
Right.
But I didn't put a legitimate bid on him, and I said, look, I'm going to roll with Peyton Barbie if I have to.
But as you said, you can never have too much depth because all these guys can just go down or lose their jobs or whatnot.
But my roster space is very
limited,
precious.
Right.
I have two wide receivers on bye and had to fill in for them.
Got it.
I said, I don't have the room for Tim Hightower right now.
Right. Corey, you said a moment ago you just hate that feeling.
Yeah.
What feeling are you describing?
It's the feeling I had. And I was about to cuss just now.
I appreciate you.
It's the
you
feeling
not.
I had with this gosh darn Dwayne Washington.
Gosh darn it!
After I spent $385 on Dwayne Washington, and then all of a sudden this kid can't even get on the damn football field. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So when I spent that money and I won Dwayne Washington,
yes.
I was like, this may have been a mistake.
Right, and that's legitimately how I feel about Charcandrick West. I'm sure you do, too. You have a good percentage of your budget, as you mentioned, on Charcandrick West because you own Spencer Ware. And it's frustrating because if another guy, one of your guys, goes down, you may not have them long term. You may not have the money to compensate for that now.
I mean, when you look at this 2016 season, can you really point to one player that fantasy owners have gotten off the waiver wire that you must say this is the waiver wire pickup of the year?
Spencer Ware, if he wasn't drafted.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Spencer Ware was drafted in mostly.
Well, depending on when he drafted.
Jamison Crowder wasn't drafted.
Jamison Crowder's a good one, but he's not the guy, I don't think.
Oh, I got one for you.
Yeah.
Who? Terrell Pryor.
I can see that.
That's a good one.
I can see Terrell Pryor.
Yeah.
I think that Terrell Pryor, maybe maybe Jack Doyle.
Well, I thought about Jack Doyle.
My in-season ranks on rotoexperts.com right now.
Uh-huh.
I have Terrell Pryor just outside the top 10.
I'll tell you who it could be going forward. It could be Davante Adams, man.
It'll be interesting to see what the people that's listening to the radio program have to say about that.
It could be Davante Adams.
Yes.
Tony, any other names come to your mind of a guy that maybe was the quote-unquote pickup of the year thus far?
You know, it's funny that Jack Doyle was the first one that came to my mind, but he just hasn't done enough for that many weeks to be a guy that you would put there. Davante Adams, though, is a great pick because people soured him last year when he had the ability
Absolutely.
To start. So he is the guy, and arguably, he's the top wide receiver going forward in Green Bay. If we had the draft over and you wanted to pair Aaron Rodgers up with someone, he would be the guy that most fantasy owners would choose.
And I think Pryor
is the guy right now, but Adams could surpass
him. It could be Ty Montgomery if he didn't have his own injuries, right? Like the wide receiver running back. A name that's just brought to my attention by a listener, Jay Ajayi. Picked up, dropped, picked up again.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking more traditional.
But it could be a giant. That works.
He was picked up in some. A lot of leagues, he did come off the wire, but he was a player that we were drafting. Then Foster came in, and then stuff like that.
Yeah.
Foster came in.
Pryor was never drafted in any leagues.
We're still pushing this Pryor thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and Pryor's a very good one. He's top 10 wide receiver.
So Adams was like a final round pick in some leagues.
Yeah, I think you're right. Terrell Pryor really wasn't drafted anymore. But I think maybe that guy really still could be out there.
He could be out there.
He could be.
Want to make a trade for him.
Won't be Bishop Sankey.
Yesterday was the NFL trade deadline. When's your fantasy trade deadline, and how do you react to that? We'll talk about that situation when we come back here on the Roto Experts. Well, that's it for hour number one. If you want to hear more and the complete Roto Experts in the Morning, listen every single day to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, FNTSY.com/radio, from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Time, only on FNTSY.